Darren, Kerry and Sky, East Coast Radio. Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola.
Yep.
Thursdays at 8:40.
Thursday mornings, Wendy Nola joins us. Hello, Wendy lady.
Hello, Darren. Good to be with you.
Morning, oh, Wendy. Oh. We love you.
Hello,
Kerry.
Hello. All right, so your first story today. Can a company refuse to compensate you for loss or injury, even if they were grossly negligent? Doesn't matter that they put up a disclaimer notice.
Well, that's the thing. And I mean, if you think about how many times we see these signs and disclaimers when we go into shops, restaurants, when our kids go on outings, you will know, Darren,
yep,
you have to sign these indemnities. And you go into hospital, my word, you know, you have to indemnify the hospital against everything. And, you know, so what is the legal position? Does that mean they can be all kinds of negligent and say, well, sorry, but like, look at our notice and or look at this form you signed?
Yeah, I've always wondered about that.
Exactly. So should you sign or should you not? The issue is that without getting too bogged down in the legalities, if you sign, even if you sign a disclaimer and a form, for example, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that the company can wash its hands of any responsibility if you are harmed in some way or if you suffer a loss of any kind due to their gross negligence. Needs to be decided in most cases by a court of law, and there's a lot of case law around this, and the judges look at a lot of things, such as how great was your harm, did the company know about the issue before and took no action, all those kind of things. So it can go either way, and if there was some negligence on your part or something that you should have foreseen and have done and didn't do, come down on the side of the company. So the case I'm going to quickly go through was a chap called Bulelani. It was a Cape Town branch of Virgin Active. Back in March, he locked his valuables, which was a couple of phones and a sentimental phone of his late mom's, as well as, I think, a smartwatch.
Yeah.
Gymmed, came back. There was a padlock on. Padlock was still attached, but the door had been open and everything taken.
Yeah,
and
okay,
the gym, he logged a case with the police. The gym insisted that he proved he owned the stuff. Did that, and then at the end, the lawyers came back and said, sorry for you, we're not liable, we had a disclaimer notice up. And I took up the case with the gym, and the Safety and Facilities Director, Chris Evans, basically said, you know, our disclaimer notice is plainly worded and clear view at the entrance. The incidence of locker theft is not currently a concern and is negligible proportionate to the number of daily accesses per club. That club, apparently, the guy when he went to Bulelani, when he went to log a complaint or open a charge, he was told that he was the fifth one that week from Virgin Active Club. So anyway, be that as it may, the bottom line is that in this case, the gym is saying, we are not liable. We're very sorry. We will help with any police investigation, but we're not sorry for you, which is, you know, never a result I want to get when I take up a case. But yeah, I just wanted to, I thought it was a good occasion to talk about disclaimers. And bottom line being, it's quite murky in law, depends on your particular circumstances. But if there's gross negligence, don't worry. If you've signed a disclaimer form, or if there was one very visible at the entrance to a shop or a restaurant or whatever, if the company was grossly negligent, that those disclaimers mean nothing. They will be legally responsible.
Well, if you actually lawyer up and prove negligence and they knew about it, you're going to win that case. So thank you for that one, Wendy Nola. And now, loyalty cards. Do you also have a second and third wallet just to keep all your loyalty cards in? Are they worth having? Let's find out. Wendy?
Well, I mean, how many cards? Or it doesn't have to be a card, although apparently, even though we're in the land of COVID and digital advancements, most people do prefer an actual card. So how many do you have, Darren?
I'm constantly torn between just buying one of these card holders and then keeping everything else in cash in my front pocket, because I've just got cards and cards and cards and apps and apps and cards and websites, and it's like, it's madness. It's madness.
So I think the answer is a lot.
A lot.
I was very surprised because I've been following the Truth and Brand Map South African Loyalty White Paper, which is an annual, very comprehensive snapshot of our loyalty habits as South Africans. More than 33,000 adults with a gross monthly income of more than 10,000 rand are surveyed. And I've been following, it's been going for many years. And I remember the average some years ago being 5 cards. We're now up to an average of 8.7 loyalty program. Loyalty programs on average per person, so more than ever. Mm. Pick and Pay Smart Shopper has regained its position as the most used loyalty program, nudging out Clicks and its Club Card into second place.
Really?
And Pick and Pay saw the greatest gains in retail loyalty usage versus pre-pandemic stats, showing 80% of South Africans use the Smart Shopper program.
Wow.
So something about, they've sort of tweaked their offering and improved it. So, it went up during lockdown. 74% of respondents, 74, that's pretty high, are now using loyalty programs. And I've noticed a change that a lot of them are introducing instant cash kind of thing. Give me layers and this and that. You can see the position we're in. So, during lockdown or since last March, when so many people's incomes were decimated, we've really clung onto loyalty. And I think that's probably the reason why loyalty is growing in this country. So just a quick few other stats. F&B eBucks is still the most used loyalty program in the financial services space.
Okay.
And in fact, the most used non-retail loyalty program for the past 6 years. They've started early and they just keep innovating their product. So, when asked to choose one loyalty program over all the others, eBucks is chosen as the one loyalty program which South Africans cannot live without, which, sure, put on your F&B. And as I said, cash is king. So those, you'll see changes where the loyalty programs are introducing that sort of instant gratification because this is what we're needing and this is leading South Africans to choose one loyalty program over the other. And as I said, very surprising, we still prefer a plastic swipe than identifying yourself through apps, which was a huge surprise to the truth people, because, as I say, a huge swing to digital. It's COVID, but still, no, we want that piece of plastic clogging up our wallets or purses. So there you go. That's why there's still so many of them.
I learned the hard way about the Pick and Pay loyalty app, because they normally say to me, do you have a loyalty card? And I say, I'm not loyal. I'm going to Woolies tomorrow. And they just scoffed at me. And my mum was with me the once. So she said, I'll swipe my card. And when I saw a couple of hundred rand come off my shopping, I was like, whoa. Does this happen every time? She's like, yeah, every time. And that's actually where it started. And now I've got every card and every app and every saving. So you're preaching to the converted here. I'm one of those. I will keep my cards. And so it's good to know which ones are on top. And listen, this Consumer Watch and the one concerning, can companies refuse to compensate for loss and injury? And of course, last week's one, was it the week before? There's a big puppy scam, which has returned bigger, better and stronger than before. You need to look out for that. All of these Consumer Watches are available for you to listen to on podcast on the website, ecr.co.za. Click on podcast.
To listen to these moments and anything else you might have missed, go to ecr.co.za and click on podcasts.